As someone who is so excited to garden this spring, yet really wants top quality soil, I'm really excited to introduce you to Coast of Maine, which is an esteemed brand renowned for its organic soil offerings. And if you're seeking to infuse your home environment with a nourishing essence that promotes flourishing plant life, you're gonna wanna listen to this, because with over 28 years of expertise, Coast of Maine has meticulously crafted soils sourced from oceanic waters and farms certified for organic cultivation. It's so nice to find such a sustainable, eco-friendly brand who really emphasizes the importance of natural ingredients to enrich their soil. And I mean, they have, like I said, top quality with rigorous quality control and OMRI listed certification. Their diverse range of products caters to all gardening needs. Most of our soils may lack appropriate nutrients for success for our plants, and our plants need this. We want to regenerate the healthy microbes in our soils to set up for gardening success and just for our plants to thrive. So if we add Coast of Maine products, this will indeed help. Whether you're planting trees or shrubs or perennials in your yard, adding Coast of Maine soil in your planting holes leads to a long, slow feeding of your plants, making them self-sufficient and vibrant, which we love. Let's say you want a vegetable garden. Not only will you receive abundant harvest, but there will be less feeding and maintenance throughout the season. Amazing. You know that everything grown in Coast of Maine soil is organic and safe for your family and friends right out of the garden. And then you get to also feel good about their sourcing, as I'm so thankful they provide natural ingredients, because they will never include household waste or biosolids. And we know that nothing nurtures the world above better than the soil below, cultivated from products and practices rooted in Coast of Maine. And so they will continually perfect the art and science of sourcing, mixing, and composting products worthy of the people and the place that inspired their brand and the healthier world it was built to serve. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. We love supporting local, and the products are carried by local retail partners who can provide advice and insight not found in big box stores. So Coast of Maine knows from beginner to expert. Anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community of gardeners everywhere. And their products make organic gardening simple and approachable so we can all garden. So let's get to growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. That's Coast of Maine, like the state with an E, coastofmaine.com. I am an everyday a touch of mascara kind of gal, though I love a full glam moment. So whether I'm simply just adding my liquid lash extensions mascara by Thrive Cosmetics, or adding their highlighter, eyeliner, or eyeshadow to my full glam, Thrive has been my go-to since 2020 for most of my makeup products. So that's why I'm so excited that they're sponsoring this episode. And why do I love them? Well, not only is their quality and their application just chef's kiss, but also the causes they support. In fact, it's in the name, Thrive Cosmetics. C-A-U-S-E Medics. Thrive Cosmetics and Bigger Than Beauty Skincare exist to empower their customers, employees, and giving partners to live their most confident lives. And so they believe in responsive giving. And so thanks to your support, they either donate their high performance products or much needed funds to help communities thrive. Can't emphasize enough how great their mascara is. Their unique formula creates tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. Plus, it's incredibly easy to remove. Just a gentle wash with warm water, and it doesn't leave any smudges. The nourishing ingredients also support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. And let me tell you, as someone with blonde eyebrows, I really do appreciate the natural look of their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner. This easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder. So just a few strokes to the line of your brows and fill in any sparse areas, and it comes with a little spoolie brush to lift and tame your brows afterwards. So with 8 shades to choose from, you'll always find the perfect match for your natural brow hair color. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/magic. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/magic for 10% off your first order.
You know, when you've got to fear something happening, it's not because your soul's looking forward and saying, oh my gosh, this, you know, this thing coming up and it could be a disaster. What it's doing is looking at circumstances or something has triggered a memory, and it looks back to previous lifetimes. It looks for something that's analogous to what's happening, and then has it triggers a fear response. The soul deep down has no fear, but it carries the fears, it carries the memories, and then that shows up.
Now let the magic begin. Hello, Soul Tribe. It's Raquel. And wow. This interview you are about to hear is not so much of an interview, but really a message and a reminder for your soul, for our soul, that our souls deserve to hear, which, well, whether you're a skeptic or you're open to all messages beyond the physical, I am beyond honored and excited to introduce you to Ainsley MacLeod, as I have absolutely no doubt that something will resonate deep when you hear these words. Ainsley is a force of this earth, as he communicates with the spirit world daily. Yep. He does. And to be honest, though, you know, I am very woo-woo, and of course I'm always open for all to share their message and their magic, and I listen. Obviously, I don't always believe what every psychic or self-proclaimed spirit guide, human guide has to say. In fact, when it comes to actual psychics and mediums, I can only think of half a handful who I really have resonated with, because my gut is telling me this is truth. And when I heard and read Ainsley's message, I had to reach out, because I just had this feeling, especially after his book and listening to his interview on the Oprah Winfrey Show. Have you heard of her? Her podcast, Super Soul Sunday podcast. And I have no doubt in any fiber of my being that the messages delivered to and through Ainsley are true and from the spirit world. And listen for yourself and see what resonates, as Ainsley MacLeod, well, Ainsley, he calls himself a reluctant psychic, as he didn't ask for them to come. You will hear his story in this episode, and there are many synchronicities that we share, but what really stands out about Ainsley and his message is what he unveils about the life plan of our soul that was created before we even came into this human suit, perhaps over 120 lifetimes ago too. There are 10 soul ages that Ainsley reveals, which actually, it is more complex than just 10, but for the purposes of human comprehension and clarity, the spirit guides divided it into 10 levels for us, because we seem to like everything to be divisible by 10. So younger soul ages are 1 through 5, and older, 6 through 10. And if you haven't listened to Oprah's Super Soul Sunday podcast episode with Ainsley, which I highly recommend that you pause this and listen to it before or right after this episode, or read his book that I just couldn't put down,
which is the instruction, living the life your soul intended. As Ainsley talks about soul ages and how they shape our beliefs and behaviors in this life, and also spills Oprah's soul is pretty old. In this episode, he tells me my soul age, and I didn't realize that I was that old, but at the same time, something I always kind of knew deep down, given my very unconventional path and heart. If you read or even skim through the book, you may get an idea how old your soul is as he elaborates on each age and perhaps your parents' age and your friends' age and your siblings' age. It's so interesting, and you know, so much is revealed and exposed in this episode too. Also, my soul's challenges in this life, and when he told me about all this, like my deepest fear and insecurities and the patterns in life that I go through, I was like, whoa, how could anyone even know this? And two, it all makes sense given the past life that I have had and why I share the messages that I do. We also talk about my soul types, which reveal the true self. And when you know your soul type, it gives you a sense of your soul's purpose and mission in this life, along with your talents and your powers. But here in this intro, I'll tell you about each for a little bit, sum them up. Your soul type, you may be a helper if you're dedicated to service and perhaps living by a stoic philosophy, or a caregiver who they are dedicated to nurturing us all and just very loyal, and an educator here to teach and are quite eloquent, or a thinker, which they love to learn and soak up knowledge and can be very rational, or a creator, which create, surprise, surprise, and are very idealistic. And there's a performer who are great at communication, and they're very passionate and love an audience. They're often actors or podcasters. And then hunters are very determined and they seek a lot of activity. And leaders, they are wise and charismatic and very independent, as they have a hard time being led by anyone. And transformers, they are here to bring awareness to unity and inspire and love. And of course, spiritualists, which most of you probably are, as someone here who loves to expand and improve themselves and their soul, and very compassionate and into, take a guess, spirituality. So there you have it. We all have a primary and secondary soul type influence. We all kind of have a little bit of all of them, but we are more dominant in some of them, but we are more focused on valuing some of them. And those of you who have listened to this podcast for a long time know me and know my soul and probably already know. So you could probably take a guess which ones I am. And if you want to find out your type and or soul age, he does have a soul type quiz on ainsleymcleod.com. But also, he encourages you to get into a meditative state and then call upon your spirit guide. So ask them, I call upon my spirit guides acting in my highest interest to help me manifest my soul type or soul age and allow me to live the life my soul intended. And don't forget to always, always, always finish by thanking your spirit guides and then to let them know session is over. But this session, Into the Soul World with Ainsley MacLeod, is just beginning. As a podcast that is only a year old, I feel like my journey with you, dear listener, our soul journey as a soul family together has really just begun too. And one of my ways to really pay gratitude to you is to shout out a Yomi with their Yomi Review of the Week. And this one goes to Rocky, a Galaxy of Stars podcast review. I love that. Absolute magic. Such gratitude for the vast cascading knowledge, wisdom, tools, and ways to heal and cope that can be gathered from the show. Beautifully endless. Each episode holds its own magic, its own potential to shift your perception and life, flowing from different human beings. Everyone who has been on this podcast has a unique way to expand your consciousness. My heart and soul are so thankful to all Raquel, always inspiring, open and inviting in more and more souls to come back to truth. I am so happy to be able to share this magic with my friends and family. Oh, Rocky, thank you. Thank you, Rocky. That's truly the intention of this podcast, is just to simply, well, bring us back to our soul and listen to truths that resonate with us, as all beings bring different tools and tricks that gives us different insights into our lives. And all that we hear is just an invitation to learn more about ourselves and humans, whether we resonate with them or not. And that's why it's so great to have a vast pool of people. So thank you so much, Rocky. So thankful for your review, and thank you for introducing this to your friends and family. Also, by the way, side note, my nickname is Rocky. Something that none of the guests have ever called me, so you wouldn't know. But please email me at hello@yourownmagic.life so I can submit you for the $150 Hum Nutrition giveaway, which, by the way, those who leave a rating review are entered, because obviously that's a thank you to you, and obviously incentive for ratings, because it really does help bring the podcast to more ears, to more humans. Also, Hum is sponsoring this episode, which you'll hear about in a short break. So, thank you so much for listening to this intro. But now, I believe it is time to let the magic begin with Ainsley MacLeod. Ainsley, thank you so much again for being here with me today.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. It's great to get the chance to talk with you.
Oh, it's such an honor, seriously. And I'm also so ready to be taken on a journey to the soul world with you today.
Let me take you there.
Yes. And I first actually heard your message, and the message from your spirit guides, just only a few months ago. I think it was 3 months ago, on my last day in London. And the day that I left, I just put you in the back pocket of my mind, and I first downloaded the instruction on my Kindle. And then I traveled more of the UK with the intention of, you know, reading it someday, but I didn't quite get into it, or I didn't open it up yet. And then the first day in Scotland on this shaman retreat in the Highlands, I was just having a restless night for whatever reason, and your book kept popping in the forefront of my mind. And I did not know that you were from Scotland. So when I read that, and I started reading you were from Scotland, I had chills, and I was like, whoa, this is crazy. And so I just stayed up that night reading so much of it, and it felt like, I don't know, the pages were glowing gold or something. There was so much truth, and I had chills all over my body. Oh, and so I'm wonderful. So excited to bring this to my audience.
Well, I'm excited to get more of the message out.
Yes, yes. And first, I'm sure that they would be very curious to know, how and when did you realize you were psychic?
Well, I talk about this a lot, because I had really two major epiphanies or moments. I went for years. Actually, I lived in London for 15 years after I left Scotland.
Whoa!
Before coming to the States. And so I had this weird thing where psychics would keep telling me that I was psychic and I should be doing something with it. And it was really only after I started doing this sort of work that I'd look back on my past and realize that all these things that I just put down to just weird occurrences were actually kind of psychic moments. And for various reasons, I was so stuck in being an atheist and non-believer, yet strangely drawn to psychics, they were drawn to me, that, you know, it was really difficult for me to embrace that idea to begin with. So I had things like, you know, psychics coming up to me in public places, you know, in a pub or something, and saying, you know, my spirit guide's telling me you're psychic and you should be, you know, should be your career. And I'm going, oh, right, sure, you know, there's a lot of crazies around here. And so it was finally, I moved from the East Coast of the States to the West Coast, and it was my first night there that I actually heard the voice of a psychic from about 10 years earlier, from long before I left the UK, who had said to me, you're going to end up in California. And I complained. I said, oh, gosh, went there once, didn't like it. He said, there's nothing you can do about it, nothing. And so, and that voice actually came, not in my head, but sort of in the room on my first night in California. And it was like, well, this really got my attention. And the next day I went to a metaphysical bookstore and I just loaded up with stuff. I went, okay, I need to figure this out. How can a psychic from like 10 years before know that I'm going to end up here? You know, what's the mechanism? And then the other thing was probably about 6 months later, I took a trip to Hawaii and I was in Borders bookstore in Lihue. And I had this visitation from my deceased uncle. And he'd been dead at that point for about 10 years, but he appeared just to kind of like a foot or two away from my right-hand side. And he was just there for a second with a really clear message about wanting to work with me. And that was like the day after I'd had a reading with somebody who'd said, you know, your uncle's here, he's a spirit guide, he wants to work with you. And I'm going, I have no idea really how to start. But it really got my attention. And, you know, it was a clear message about, you know, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So a couple of weeks later, I was back in the mainland and I just gave it a go and discovered that I could communicate with the other side. And it was slow going. I mean, it's like, you know, I really can do now in 5 minutes what would take me an hour to do.
Wow.
Back then, it was very, you know, I was really, I mean, my first few times trying to talk to the other side, it was like, I liken it to, you know, if you're trying to listen to the radio and it's really off the station, it keeps going kind of in and out. It was like that. But, you know, it's like anything, if you do it long enough, you keep practicing, keep working at it, it becomes easier. And I actually spent about 3 years just developing my ability to connect with the other side before I ever really read for anybody. Maybe I read a couple of people, but I was very nervous about going out into the world and getting things wrong or, you know, screwing up somebody's life by you know, getting the wrong message or misinterpreting something. So I was kind of maybe, according to my spirit guides, very overcautious. You know, I should have been doing it a little bit before. But so that's really how I got started. And right now I've been working with I have spirit guides on the other side. I've been working with them for 20 years, roughly.
I was about to ask, wow, how long ago was it when you saw your uncle in Kauai?
That was 97.
I was seven. Wow. What is it about Kauai? I lived there last year, bleeding into this year, and also like Bali, I just felt them everywhere. I felt them. Yeah. Some felt lighter than others that would come to the house, and sometimes I thought that they would wake me up at night, and I'd wake up my roommate. But also Scotland, that was the first time in a long time I actually like heard a voice too. Are there just certain places in the world where people are more sensitive to connecting with the spirits?
Yeah, there are just certain places. And of course, generally, if you're trying to connect with the other side, you want to have some tranquility, which is why, I got a lot of stuff. I seemed to download a lot of things when I was on a beach in Kauai, a secret beach. I was going there and I was sometimes the only person there. And I just found the connection was just, it was superb, you know, and Scotland, parts of Scotland, absolutely. But there are places, I mean, we tend to, or old souls tend to pick up the energy. They tend to know that there are certain places that feel a little bit lighter, you feel more connected, and other places that just don't.
Oh my gosh, my heart right now. I can't wait to also talk about soul ages. And you were a skeptic atheist, so how level 10 of you?
Oh, I know. It really is. Actually, that's a funny thing. You know, people think that, you know, if you're a non-believer, you know, an atheist, that you're probably a young soul. But actually, no, it tends to be the very old souls. The problem is that as the soul ages, it tends to reject conventional religion in favor of something that's more spiritual. But what it will often do is throw the spiritual baby out with the religious bathwater. And, you know, so I was, you know, typical of that sort of person. I mean, the universe really had to get my It will struggle hard to get my attention.
Really got your attention. And then do you think that it was your uncle that was really the catalyst to being like, whoa,
he was okay. The big catalyst, yeah. And he was an atheist as well, you know, which was why, wow. I would tell psychics, they'd say, oh, your Uncle John is a spirit guide. And I'd go, yeah, everybody's got an Uncle John. And, you know, and he's the last person I would think of. But, you know, once you're on the other side, you know, you're back to spirit again. Yeah, you're asking about soul ages. I mean, this is a fascinating aspect of what I've learned to read in people, is to tell how old your soul is, to get a sense of how long you've been going back and forth between this plane and the next, how many lives you've had. And that's the soul ages. You know, a lot of things change. It's like growing up from childhood to becoming an adult. And the people I work with are generally not just old souls, but they're very old souls. If you would like, I would love to tell you
absolutely
about the age of your soul.
I'm so open.
Yeah, well, I'm excited because I did a little reading, and of course we haven't discussed any of this yet. Mm-hmm. So I'd be very interested to hear what your thoughts are. So
yeah,
you're actually a little bit older than most of my clients. There are 10 levels in all that take you through, for the average person, maybe 120 lifetimes. So you have multiple lifetimes at each of these 10 levels. And most of my clients are somewhere between level 7 and level 10. Younger souls are up to from level 1 up to the end of 5. And then there's a kind of flip that goes on. It's where you develop a greater ability for introspection. It's like your whole focus changes. So I never get young souls coming to me. They're just not interested in doing this kind of work. So, of course, I'm reading people who are more sort of 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Doesn't make them any better or worse than it's just their age.
I always say that because I think there's a tendency to feel like,
superior
if you're a really old soul. But you know, it just, you are what you are, and you have no control over that. You know, you're it's just like being any age. You know, there's nothing much you can do about it. It's just, that's what you are. And it is important to remember that young souls sometimes act in ways that old souls wouldn't. And you know, like with a child, you wouldn't necessarily judge them, but at the same time, you wouldn't necessarily condone the behavior if it's not good for them or everyone else. So getting back to you, you are right up towards the end. You are, in spiritual terms, a senior citizen. You are level 10, and you're actually 80% into it, which implies that that could be your last life. You'll never actually know if you're on your last life until you process this on the astral plane when you've completed the life, because it's only then that you can process and really understand how successful the life was and whether you learned all the lessons you set out to learn and if you have to come back. So we don't know for sure, you can't tell, but it could be your last life, and maybe you got one or two after this, but you're reaching the end of a very long journey, which I think is the most cosmic and exciting thing about this, because you've been going back and forth from the physical plane to the astral plane for now, maybe could be 6,000 years. It's a long journey, and you're coming to the end of it. And you know, and there's so much I want to tell you. The marker of being such an old soul is so simple, because it's just acceptance of others. Having lifetimes where you've been in every kind of culture, every society, every color, skin, every part of the world, in all sorts of combinations, undergoing the worst that life can offer and the best, everything in between. What it does is it creates an acceptance of others, because it allows you to see the soul beneath the surface, and also to recognize that whatever anyone else is doing, you've been there. So you end up with this sort of feeling of like, who cares whether you're black, white, gay, straight, or anything else? It just, these things just don't matter. We're all souls under the skin. So that greater level of acceptance is usually there from childhood, because, you know, you're maybe a child, but you're still an old soul. So, and I, what I'll tell you a few things about you. And if anything doesn't make sense, you let me know. Or if you want,
everything is resonating right now. And I always wondered, sometimes I think that this, you know, right after this, I will be helping people as I'm on the astral plane or the causal plane, helping people. That's so interesting. Well,
helping people is a really big part of why you're here.
Yeah.
And I'll explain that in a second. You're 80% into your soul age, and everybody at every level, even if you're a very young soul, at 80%, you're trying to heal issues around rejection. And rejection comes from feelings of abandonment in past lives. And then it shows up in different ways in this life. But one of the most common things, or common ways that people will try to overcome, the soul will try to get you to overcome anyway, this fear, is by being a uniter, bringing people together. And I think that's really probably a major reason that we're doing this right now. It would be a huge motivation for you to be the uniter, bring people together. So what I wanted to do is tell you about a past life.
Please.
That you had. It's a most recent past life, and how this is showing up in this life. And again, if anything doesn't make sense, let me know. And if there's anything you want to explore, tell me. But
so far, I'm speechless.
Okay. When I explore past lives, I mean, I think most people are familiar with regression, and where someone will relax you and take you into a past life. And then by finding what happened, particularly traumatic events in a past life, it initiates healing. Well, what I found years ago when I first started doing readings for people is that I was far too impatient to do regressions all the time. I mean, to spend 20 minutes relaxing somebody and then waiting patiently while they struggle to figure out their past life. I just, after doing that maybe two or three times, I went, this cannot be my career. So I just started telling people, because I'm getting it, you know, I'm talking to spirit guides, and you don't need a lot of detail usually, you know, just a few things, and then you can extrapolate, you can get the healing. So I just got a little bit about this past life of yours, and I want to tell you about it, and then I'm going to tell you some of the very, what I would consider to be obvious ways that this would then show up in this life, because we're hugely influenced by our past lives. And in fact, I maintain that you can't know, you can't fully understand who you are if you don't understand who you were. I mean, the influence of past lives all the time, you know, I feel with every passing day, I become more and more convinced that everything about we humans is past life related. So what I'll do is I'll give you a little bit about your past life, and then I'll show you the, like I say, the connections. We want to draw dotted lines between past and present. So you were a guy, you were African, you grew up in South Africa in the time of apartheid. And you belonged to some African organization, one of the sort of banned organizations under apartheid. You ended up being arrested. I think there's some other people arrested at the same time. I have a feeling it was mostly trumped up charges, because I think there's an element here of false judgment. And I'll look at that. I'll talk to you about that after. But you actually died in prison after a period of solitary confinement. And sometimes when there's extreme isolation in a past life, this is where you get this issue around rejection. And you were executed. You were hanged. And hanging is so significant, because it shows up in all sorts of different ways in future lifetimes. And certainly the soul's feeling at the time of death was that you were abandoned by a system, you were let down. And And that will show up in certain ways in this life. But hanging, almost always when somebody's been hanged, they're then working on self-expression issues in future lifetimes. It's about the throat chakra and learning to speak your truth and really say what's on your mind without kind of holding back. And I think that may be, again, related to the kind of work that you're doing right now. The other thing is, and it came up, something spirit guides talked about, is that your motivation to get involved in the organization you were in back in South Africa was to help others. And this is what I write about. It's old soul altruism. It's a selflessness that comes from that thing I was talking about, how you see the soul in others. So it's not just about you're making sure you have a good life, but it's in trying to better things for other people. And that's come into this life as well, because the life that you had was short. You didn't get the chance to do what you were meant to do. And the motivation then in this life is to influence others and to help them. You're not doing it for the money. You're doing it because deep down you really, really want to help other people. There's also another thing about being such an old soul is that you want to go out with a little bit of a bang. You want to feel like you get to the end of this life or you're processing it on the other side going, wow, I really made a difference here. The world's a much better place for my having been here. So that's a big part of where that motivation comes from. Then there's the whole thing of being held in prison, and especially when it's associated with death. It creates what's called a past life fear of powerlessness. And it comes from being in a situation where you have no control over your destiny. Like other people are choosing when you wake up, when you eat, and you know, also choosing when you die. And what it does in this life is it gives you a kind of exaggerated need for freedom, personal freedom. And because you were held in solitary confinement in darkness, then I think this probably would even go to your choice of location right now to be in a sunny place. But almost always, invariably, if someone's been held in prison for a long period of time, in the next few lifetimes, they really want to experience the wind in their hair. They want to be outdoors, feel the warmth of the sun and all that sort of thing that the soul would have really missed while they were locked up. Is this making sense?
I'm stunned right now. Absolutely.
Oh, can I tell you something else?
Yes. Yes. But
wait, there's more.
Oh my gosh.
Part of what you're trying to do, like I said, is build unity. And the spirit guides describe it as trying to build a movement that the deep soul level urge is to, like I say, unite, but it's like create something that has a force of its own. So this would be very interesting to see where this takes you in the future, because that desire is not going to go away. In fact, anything but, it'll keep getting stronger. So that, in a nutshell, is your past life in Pretoria in South Africa and some of the ways that it's showing up. Oh, another, but yes, there's more.
I love it.
Like I said, it's a short life. You're pretty young when you died. I get the sense of being maybe 25, 27. And you had a whole lot more to do. Now in this life, there's an underlying sense that there's lots to do. I expect it to put a lot of internal pressure. Like, you know, I've got to be moving forward and getting things done. Is that strong for you?
Oh my yes. Oh my yes. And that like weighs on me. And I think it can be egoic sometimes, but wow, perhaps.
Yeah, the problem with it, I write about this too in my first book in the instruction, that it's putting a lot of pressure to achieve things. But sometimes it can be a little headless chicken sort of thing, you know, running around.
Oh my gosh.
It's like a lot going on.
I feel like a headless chicken running around the world trying to figure out how to do this.
Well, that's something we can certainly talk about.
a message to my fellow Yomi. You don't need anything to be more beautiful than you already are, as you know. But I do understand the uncomfort of walking around with digestive issues, and I've also seen my beautiful friends that are so glowing and radiant, but they happen to have a hard time with their skin. And both of these issues show that there is something unbalanced from within. And that is why I am so happy to have Hum Nutrition stay with your own magic as one of our most supportive sponsors, and for the Yomis who have worked with their tried and true supplements and, of course, some humanisms in this human experience create more challenges. So Hum may have many different solutions to help you out with that. They have the highest quality supplements as they meticulously select the right, just the perfect micronutrients to balance the beauty from within, from the tummy issues or skin and nails and metabolism and energy and sleep or deficiencies like B12 and vitamin D or just a complete detox of the body. Hum has a variety of gluten-free, non-GMO products, and most of them are vegan. So for the Soul Tribers, you can receive a free nutrition report to find the right nutrients to balance your deficiencies. And you can also receive 20% off your purchase. So you'll not only be supporting your own magic by supporting our sponsor, but you'll also be supporting your shell. So just go to humnutrition.com and enter the promo code MAGIC for 20% off. That's humnutrition.com, promo code MAGIC.
Well, the other thing about being hanged in a past life is that usually it creates discomfort with turtlenecks or tight jewelry or even loose jewelry, anything that hangs
on
the neck.
No way. Oh my God, I have chills. Recently, I wanted to wear this really cute that I made a necklace that was tight around my neck, and I was wearing it for a bit, and it was almost like I felt like I was wearing it to rebel. It was so weird, like to rebel against something, like I can wear this. But I didn't understand why. But that's so interesting you say this.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually it goes to some interesting thing, which is about how your soul always wants to get you to face your fears.
Yeah.
One other thing here, like I said, you're working on overcoming fears around self-expression, that your political views and actions got you into trouble. So in this life, what you're having to do is learn that you're not going to die. You're not going to be executed if you go out there and express your views confidently. But the tendency is for there to be, like, you know, it's the soul trying to get you not to maybe reveal too much or hold back a little bit.
Because absolutely, and also just not get into politics or anything political for whatever reason. I'm so resistant to that.
Yeah, that's why you're resistant. And that's a really common thing. But actually, as of, you know, probably half an hour from now, that's all going to change, because what we're doing here is reminding your soul that that was then and this is now. And that's actually the crux of how past life work actually works. Because the problem is that you have these, let's say, 120 lifetimes, and you might be on life 119 right now, but your soul's on life number one. Your soul doesn't die between lives. So the problem it has is that your soul always looks back. It's not, you know, when you've got a fear of something happening, it's not because your soul's looking forward and saying, oh my gosh, this, you know, this thing coming up and it could be a disaster. What it's doing is looking at circumstances or something has triggered a memory, and it looks back to previous lifetimes. It looks for something that's analogous to what's happening, and then it triggers a fear response. The soul deep down it has no fear, but it carries the fears, it carries the memories, and then that shows up. I'll give you a typical one here that I come across a lot. I think a lot of people would relate to this, is that if you've been, let's say you had a past life where you were judged for whatever reason, let's say it's a court of law, you're judged and then you're dragged out and executed, then in this life, if you, let's say you're at work and somebody asks you to give a presentation, where your soul goes to is it goes back to the last time it faced a whole sea of people, and it goes, oh my God, we're going to be judged, therefore we're going to die. And it's totally irrational. It's just, well, it's irrational until you understand how these things work. But yeah, that's why you can get such an exaggerated fear, you know, a total phobia when it comes to things like public speaking, or, you know, you get, people can go to pieces over being tested. It all goes back often to the same kind of source. The great thing about doing past life work is that the fears and the limitations that the past life impose on you tend to disappear pretty quickly. I mean, I get sometimes people heal in the moment, and other times, you know, they'll report back that it took a few weeks or even a couple of months, but then suddenly they no longer have this problem. And, you know, as I've talked about in my books, you know, I've worked with people's children and, you know, helped them to overcome.
Oh, what a great age to do that.
It's great. It's really, you know, it's very satisfying. In fact, what I do is, I mean, I don't work with the child. I work with the parent, tell them what happened. They tell the child there's a bedtime story, and the next thing, the child's no longer getting night terrors or whatever is happening because it was tapping into that past life.
I am reminding my future self to bring my child to you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do this all the time. I have quite a few stories about that. I actually, I was working with somebody talking of things happening very, very quickly, but you know, I'm talking about how you were hanged, and that usually shows up as throat issues. Sometimes it can even cause thyroid issues. It's all to do with the throat chakra, and sometimes neck pain. And very often, if I find a hanging in a past life, the neck pain will go away. Excuse me. If someone's been beheaded, then it shows up usually most of the same symptoms except neck and shoulder pain. It's just that little bit of a difference, the way the body holds the memory. And so I was working with somebody, and all my sessions are on the phone, so you know, this person's on the other end of the phone, and I'm telling her about the past life where she ended up beheaded in revolutionary France and in the Reign of Terror. And and I asked her, you know, if she had any neck and shoulder pain, and she said, oh, yeah, 20 years of chronic neck and shoulder pain. Doctors can't do anything about it. And she's a ballroom teacher, so dance teacher. So she has to move around a lot and sort of, you know, look behind her and so on. And it was really affecting her quite badly. And the pain, 20 years of chronic pain, disappeared in the session and never came back. In fact, I gave a couple of talks where I told this story, and she was actually in the audience. Of course, I'd only ever spoken to her on the phone, and the first time she puts her hand up, and I think she's got a question. She's going, "That was me."
Oh my gosh, that is that's crazy.
And literally, she's saying the pain went. It just, the moment her soul was reminded that it was a past life issue, and
it just went
away. Never came back.
Wow. Yeah. It just, knowing that shifts everything and releases it. That's how you unblock it. When people ask, how do I unblock these fears?
Sometimes I'll be working with somebody, I'll tell them all this stuff, and then they'll say, well, now what do I need to do? And it's like, oh, actually, no, I should have pointed it out. Nothing really. I have to say, it usually helps, because what you're trying to do is remind the soul that was then, this is now.
This is now.
And so working through with writing can really help as well. Really? I'm a huge fan of journaling because sometimes by, you know, like talking about looking at a past life and drawing dotted lines to the present. The more you do that, the more it seems to remind the soul that it's nothing it needs to hold on to, and it can just release it. And, you know, what the soul releases is, you know, sometimes these big physical changes, they're very dramatic. They make for great stories. But, you know, more subtly, what we get are more spiritual or emotional, mental changes as well. You know, sometimes you can help somebody to overcome issues around self-esteem, you know, self-worth issues that come from past lives. You've got a little bit of that that you're working through as well.
And wow, how did you know?
Yeah, friends on the other side. That and that's really funny because, you know, people would listen to you and they would, I'm sure you come across as extremely confident to most mm-hmm. people, but
probably
they don't know that it's been a journey.
Yeah.
And it could be, you know, and again, one of these motivations, because the soul, as I say, it's not going to sit around and put up with having a block because of your fear. It wants to overcome it.
So, yes. Yeah. Oh, I'm just so glad that you brought that up because, well, one, I haven't been able to really speak my truth until this podcast. Something just went through me and I started saying all of these secrets I held inside that I only told very few people. And I had a co-host at the time and her mouth just dropped. She couldn't believe I exposed what I exposed on this podcast. And then it just started to all come out in the podcast. And they know that I think that they know they could probably get a hint, though. Yes, it might appear very confident and like I have it all together. I'm working through so much, and that's why I share messages of insecurity and overcome these issues of low self-esteem.
Yeah,
that's a huge message that I share there. Wow.
Yeah, and it even goes to some of the things that you've chosen in your personality for this life. This is something that I look at when I'm working with somebody. It would be one of the first things I would do, is to look at the personality that you chose for this life. This is the soul types and influence.
Yeah, the soul types
that you choose. And if we could talk about that for
absolutely,
a minute,
yes.
I'll tell you a little bit more about, please, you know, who you are. There are 10 soul types, which are kind of archetypes, if you like, that are based on your function over thousands of years. If you think of going back even to the tribe, you have these same 10 soul types. And what's actually really cosmic is that these 10 soul types are universal. I mean, everywhere in the universe that you have souls with consciousness, that you have those same 10 types. They give your life a kind of form. What you're doing is you're learning each time to be this certain kind of person. It will give you certain interests, abilities, aptitudes, and so on. And the great thing is that there's only 10, so it's actually really quite easy once you start to get the hang of it to make sense of it, because you're not, although we humans, we look so diverse, but really, you know, we're just composed of the same 10 elements, and sometimes not all 10, or usually it's just maybe 5 or 4, 5, 6 at the most, really. And so it actually, once you understand how each one works on its own and then how it influences other parts, it becomes great fun reading people. I spent most of my life not watching TV. When I was younger, I just felt I've got loads of things to do, you know. I played in bands. I was an artist. I liked to travel. And I just decided very early on I wasn't going to spend any of my life watching TV.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
These days, you know, I do watch a little bit, you know, just, you know, Netflix or something. But I watch things like baking shows and stuff just to watch the personalities.
I've pictured it being like a reality type show, so you can see the human person.
Absolutely. I love doing it. So 10 elements. You've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. You've got 5 in there, sort of in descending order, but the core of who you are is what's called a spiritualist type.
Yep.
And most of my clients are spiritualist. I mean, it's, you know, It's just every single day I'm working with spiritualist types because they're the ones drawn to this kind of work. So what it does is it gives you an interest in spirituality. And what unites really every spiritualist is a desire for meaning. You're looking for a higher purpose. You know, I mentioned that, you know, how you're not doing this for the money. And that would apply to most spiritualists, unless they're blocked in some way. It's always that underlying desire for some kind of higher purpose. And, you know, my typical client is maybe 40 years old and in the corporate world and looking to get out and do something that feels more meaningful.
Wow, 40 years in the corporate world. Well, I guess it would be maybe 20, but that as a spiritualist.
And the soul is kind of going, oh my God, unless they're, you know, they can make it work maybe if they're in HR, they feel that they're doing something that's really benefiting people. But really, if it's just about making money and paying the bills, you start to get really dissatisfied after, usually it's after the mid-30s. So it's roughly in the mid-30s, the soul really starts to push through and go, you know, come on, we got to really be who we are. And so that's why, you know, I have this cluster of clients all around 37 to 43. I mean, maybe half my clientele is in that zone. And almost all of them spiritualist types like you, seeking that higher purpose. And so what we're doing is trying to then find, well, what is it they can do to find meaning in their lives? You know, what sort of, some people just need a little nudge and other people need a radical shift, depends on where you are. Certainly the kind of work that you do is, for a spiritualist type, terrific. My gosh, it almost couldn't be better. Your primary influence, I will mention this, in past lives you learned to be a spiritualist through kind of two areas, really, healing and spirituality. And actually, the spirit world sees the two being very connected. You know, we've kind of lost touch of that a little bit with Western medicine recently, but you know, they see a huge connection between spirituality and healing.
As in, I was healing somebody, or I experienced a great healing, and then I tapped into this spiritual side.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who would, you know, when they're maybe working with somebody doing healing work, I'll find it with acupuncturists or people doing Reiki or something like that, where suddenly they start tapping into past lives and telling a client about what they're getting. The things are kind of blurry on the other side. But you've had lives as a healer of all different kinds. You know, I'm sure you've been a midwife, you know, herbalist.
Oh my gosh, that's so interesting.
Surgeon, you know, but also lives as a contemplative, as a more, you know, maybe priest, nun, you know, that sort of thing. Because every so often, every spiritualist is looking for a past life of tranquility. It's like this, you know, you have almost like have a few dramatic lives and lots of going on, and then chill out for a little while. You know, spend some time in a monastery and just reconnect. It's not quite as, you know, it's not like every three lifetimes if you go and do that. And your soul types do move around it. So you're not necessarily a full-blown spiritualist every time, but it will always be one of the elements, because this is something you've really been working on and developing.
Dear listener, this episode is also brought to you by itself, your own magic. Not only is Yom a podcast, but a dedicated secret Facebook group and a Soul Tribe exclusive site. If the messages here, if they resonate with you in any way, I invite you to join us and connect with more soulful and loving souls on the Your Own Magic Facebook group. And if you're interested in my own magic and soul tools, that is exclusive for the Soul Tribe at yourownmagic.live, full of new monthly guided meditations, meditative imaginings, magic challenges, journal questions for the soul, soulful creativity, inspiration, and more self-expansion and discovery tools for the soul to add to your tool belt. So just so much dedicated to helping you tune in and tap into your inner voice, to your soul and to help you unleash your own magic. So you can find that at yourownmagic.life. It's only $4.44 a month. I wanted to make it super cheap just so anybody could at least try it out. So come check it out at yourownmagic.life. And whether you join or not, just know I am beyond grateful for you taking this time to listen to this podcast and to be part of the tribe in some way. And even more importantly, begin to connect with your soul. Aho.
The primary influence is that of a creator type.
My primary influence.
Yes. And that's sort of influencing the spiritualist in you. In a past life, you might have been the, you know, just designer, clothes designer, jewelry maker, potter, you know, lots of creative lives to develop that. Yeah, you know, exactly. There's a trait associated with creators, and that is sensitivity. And what that sensitivity does is it pushes the spiritualist more into the next realm. It's already kind of there, but what it does is it increases your ability to connect to the other side. And that shows up as strong intuition. And I would expect you, like most people, to have been learning that. Probably, mm-hmm. you know, some lessons were times where you didn't listen to your intuition and you kind of wish now that you had. And
it happens in this lifetime.
Yeah. And it's a work in progress.
Yes.
It's just like practice, you know. And the more, even again, journaling, it can be really interesting to look at times when you didn't listen to your intuition and times when you did, and look at the contrast. You know, it could be about choosing a relationship, you know, and your gut's telling you something and your head's telling you, oh, it'll be fine. And then later you go, oh, I wish I'd listened to my gut. Yeah. You know, so it's good to like do a little bit of retrospective work from time to time. Now, here's the kicker. Here's what's really interesting in your soul types, because you come across very much as a spiritualist, creator, very gentle, but you've got a really tough element here. You've actually chosen a leader influence here, and
I got that with your quiz too.
You did. You got that. Yeah. Excellent. And when you get the creator and the leader, the word that comes up there is autonomy. You cannot be micromanaged. And most people with this combination would be self-employed. It's just,
wow.
You know, and very much a leader, not a follower. It gives you a little bit more masculine energy, which translates into usually a little bit more drive. And that does help you to achieve things, because the problem for a lot of very old souls like you is a lack of energy. It's inertia. You know, you just, mm-hmm. you've been around the block all these times and it's just like, oh,
I'm tired.
You know, like, oh God, yes. You know, I always think of the baby coming into this world, and the moment it's sort of like, it looks down, it sees itself and goes, oh crap, I'm a baby again. What was I thinking? Because, you know, it's your soul's very neutral on the other side when it comes to choosing lives. It just wants to work on experiences and balancing things from past lives. It's when you get here, sometimes things don't go quite as expected, and sometimes that you can really feel like, oh, why did I choose to do this again? But your soul was just, it was saying, well, we need to learn lessons about self-expression and, you know, rejection, powerlessness, you know, so we'll come in and we'll have these sort of experiences. And that's all part of the plan that it creates for the life.
Wow.
So you've got this a little bit more drive, like I say, which is good, because you really will achieve things in this life. You've got a very rational part in there. It's called the thinker influence. The thinker in the tribe would have been the tribal intellectual or explorer. It's all about curiosity.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, because I don't want to get esoteric and, like it isn't, but, you know, I'm too esoteric.
I don't want to get esoteric this podcast, but my spirit guide said.
Exactly. But just because of the way that this all falls, what it means is that what you learn is what you want to apply. You don't want to get too caught up in theory in this life, or just learning for the sake of it. It's a feeling like, well, how can I use this? And again, it's related to that desire to really achieve things in this life. And then, interestingly, and kind of not surprisingly, you've got a performer influence. And that comes from lifetimes as a everything from an actor to presenter to dancer.
Oh, I knew
singer.
It.
But, you know, things that people, you know, things that will put people in the spotlight. And but it's got one other function here for you, and that is that your soul is really trying to make sure that you don't isolate.
Oh my it's gosh!
Because with the fear that the fear of rejection mostly that you've got, the tendency is to internalize and isolate, and
you gotta make sure you don't do that.
In
a nutshell.
Yeah,
traveling the world solo too to. And I realize it's to isolate myself from the world a lot of times, yet at the same time, I'll open up the podcast and talk to the world. It's such an interesting dichotomy.
It's actually one of the things about being 80% into your soul age and working on this fear of rejection. It's a push and pull. It's a constant push and pull until you start to really work through it as you're doing now. And what that means is that your soul, it knows that you need to belong, but it also holds the fear that if you belong, you'll be rejected. So it's like you start to belong and it goes, oh, okay, this doesn't feel so right. And,
yes.
You know, it's
total
push and pull.
Yep.
You know, I often talk about a Cliff Notes way of looking at who you are. And if you want to hear that, I'll just give you everything in it. This is a total nutshell about your soul types. But it applies to really anything you do. I mean, I'm often working with people on their day job, but this would apply to kind of just life in general. That the spiritualist is looking for meaning. The creator is looking for autonomy. The leader is looking to lead and learn lessons in authority or using authority responsibly. The thinker wants to feel like you're growing in everything that you do. So it's never static. You know, you're constantly moving forward. And the performer wants an audience, which you know, is what you got right now, which is looks perfect to me.
Wow.
And so you're mentioning the quiz, which is on my website, which is, you know, the soul type quiz.
Yeah.
And this is pretty close to how you were able to assess yourself there.
Exactly. Like, that's why I'm, I shouldn't be surprised though. I shouldn't be surprised. When performer wasn't coming up for a bit, I was like, I know that I also have that in me. And then you said that and then everything was like, yep, spot on. And it resonates so deeply. And especially when you said that I have this fear of rejection and that I tend to isolate myself, that's truly my pattern in this lifetime since I was a child. It's so interesting. And I grew up an only child, though I have an older brother.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
Well, that's interesting that you would choose, because you do choose your parents, you choose your family.
Can you be older than your parents, your soul?
Oh, good God, all the time.
Wow.
It's interesting, but I find really interesting dynamics in families because of past lives. And one of them is that if your parent, let's say your mother was your daughter in a previous lifetime, then she'll end up expecting you to take on the role of the mother. And this is often why you get a parent who's one way with one child and completely different with the others. Just your mere presence reminds souls of the dynamic that you had in the past life. And so they go into that. I was working with somebody just the other day whose mother is sick and just, you know, expecting the child to, adult child, you know, to look after her and do all this stuff. And it comes from the past life. You know, it's like you were the mother who let me down. So I expect you to, you know, make up for it now, run after me. And
fascinating
stuff. Because, you know, often when I tell people you choose your parents and they choose you, it's like people go, what the heck was I thinking?
I love my parents. I'm happy I chose them. But there is an interesting dynamic.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's going to be, and that will tell you what you're working on. If you identify any patterns or what the dynamic is, it tells you what you're trying to heal in this life. You know, typically, if you come into a family where they put you down a lot. And I actually write about somebody with this in my new book. It's just that parents were just like putting her down in all sorts of ways, right from the time she could remember, you know, first time her father made fun of her weight. And but she's working on those self-worth issues. It's actually past life fear of inferiority. And now you would think that the soul, if it's looking to heal issues around self-worth, would come into a family where you get boosted and you get encouraged and supported.
Oh my gosh.
But it's actually a fast track to healing, if you like, to choose to have the fears triggered, especially when you get to be a really old soul, because the way your soul's looking at it is that you don't have a lot of time ahead. So you can't just come in and sit through the life and everything is just sweetness and light and hope that somehow you get the chance to work through the issues. So that's where it's like, you know, I'll see somebody's working on betrayal from a past life, and they come in and they've got just like betrayal all over the place. You know, mother let them down, father left the family, first boyfriend cheated, second boyfriend did the same, you know, like you see the patterns. And that, you know, is where you really need to heal this, you know, these issues around betrayal, which will go back to the past, and then clear that out energetically. And then it just completely changes how you are, and that in turn changes how other people respond to you.
I am floored. Every fiber of my being is like radiating, like, yes, finally, you know, and it makes sense to you.
Wow. I think the wonderful thing about this work is that, you know, every life has a purpose, and it's all laid out in the life plan that your soul created before you were even born. And people say, well, you know, you don't remember these things, but you kind of do. And they say you don't remember your past lives, but you kind of do. It's just a question of really knowing what to look for. I think that's the biggest problem. But, you know, the other thing I'm fond of saying is that your destiny is not a secret. There's no force on the other side trying to make this any harder than it is. But, you know, we don't know what we're looking for. And a big part of the problem is that so many of us just live lives that are so chaotic and noisy, and we're never getting a chance to really kind of settle in and talk to the other side and listen to the small, still voice of the soul because we've just got too much going on.
Oh, where we can get all of the answers. I actually have a very big question that has actually been on my mind since I was a child. I understand that we all have a purpose to serve in this world, as we've been talking about. And
right.
But why do we as souls, or we as the universe, why did we dream up this idea of having a world with humans, and that we need to live these lives as humans and have many challenges and struggles and heartache, or also just a lot of healing experiences? But why didn't we just continue to live, well, what I thought then was heaven, but just the astral or causal plane? Why did we dream up humanity? Why do humans exist?
It's a wonderful question. There's no growth from just sitting there in spirit, and the soul is just motivated to grow. It's the prime directive, if you like. I've got to evolve. I've got to grow, and that's what the whole journey is about. You know, when we talk about from young soul to old soul, it's a journey from me to we, from fear to love, and you know, it shows up in all sorts of ways. It shows up politically, it shows up in social attitudes, and so on. So the soul comes to the physical plane, and in this case, it comes to Earth. Chooses, you know, way back, it's roughly around 55,000 years ago that humans got the kind of souls, the level of consciousness that we have now, and that's why we sort of like suddenly we're off and running, and you know, creating tools and, you know, being creative and doing stuff that soul allows you to do. The problem is, it actually, a lot of it goes to the soul types. In the tribe, everything functioned pretty well. You know, you had your leader to lead, you had your creators to, you know, make the pottery or jewelry or whatever. You had the thinker to figure out, you know, when to cultivate plants, or, you know, how to figure out the seasons or whatever it might be. The performance to entertain everybody, you know, to tell the story of the hunt through dance or mime or something. And so everyone was kind of fulfilled, you know, they were all doing what they're doing. As we started to sort of, you know, develop cities and move around the world and so on, things got a little bit screwed up in that sort of way. And there's a level of greed that was not anticipated before this all happened, you know, like when, you know, it's a little bit of a surprise to those on the other side that this is the way the world is. And one thing my spirit guides say a lot is that the world is not meant to be this way. And that it should be so different, you know, that, and if we just recognize the individuality and encouraged people to be who they are, it would be a very different place. And if, you know, we were able to connect more spiritually and treat each other more kindly, you know, what an amazing place. But the fact that we've got such inequality and cruelty, it was, you know, never meant to be that way. It was not what was anticipated. We just come into it and think, oh, this is the way the world is, but it doesn't have to be this way, and it won't always be.
But that's so interesting. So let's say a level one soul, well, now let's say they graduated to a level two or three, and they kind of see the world as black and white.
Yeah.
The world isn't supposed to be them seeing the world as black and white and having all these challenges and seeing humanity as against them or something. It's just something that kind of happened.
Yeah, well, actually, that's the perspective, but that doesn't mean that that is how it should be. I mean, again, the grown-ups should be showing the way that, you know, and we are, you know, people, I work with, you know, a lot of people who get very dispirited about the way things are politically right now. And, you know, they feel like, you know, practically giving up on things, but we are making progress. We just hit a major bump in the road right now, you know, in this country.
Right now?
And
even though our leaders are waking up and like seeing bombs in their
right. Bombs. Well, you know, what I mean, that's the major sort of bump in the road. It's a reaction to what's actually an increasing level of consciousness and awareness. And actually, when we go through, after we've gone through this period, which will be maybe a little chaotic, we will come out the other end, you know, learning that if we're going to survive, we need to do things like taking care of the environment, you know, the world that we live in, and that we'll keep coming back to, and that we need to treat each other fairly, because we could be on the other side of the, you know, the judicial coin or something in a future life. That, you know, and we're doing it not just, you know, for, you know, our what we can get now, right now, but, you know, for the future. I think if people really understood reincarnation and the power of that, they would take much more care of the world and create a much fairer, much more equal world, knowing that they were going to come back. And the other thing is that we come back to experience, talking to the other side of the coin, but karma causes us all the time to look for the other side of the, you know, of the sort of karmic coin there, so that, you know, if you've well, you know, it's like you, I was saying earlier, you know, it's karma that you died in a prison and that now you want freedom, that you were the victim of injustice and now you want a fairer world, balancing, you know, one life with the next.
So is it possible that the next life could be more challenging if this life is more free, or do you think it's just going to evolve in a different way?
I always stress that there's no punishment involved in karma. Mm. That, you know, and it is about balance, but it's a bit of a big one. There's an example I used in my second book, in The Transformation, talking about President Truman, who dropped the bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, or was responsible. You know, the buck stopped with him, and as he was actually very fond of saying, I don't think he understood the karmic implications. But in this life, he's, or in the most immediate life, I think he was after that. So life in Russia, where he grew up in a very toxic environment. Everyone's got to have a soul. There's no punishment, but what the soul will do is say, "Well, you know, I caused all this radiation sickness and all this unhappiness. I need to see the other side of that. What does it look like to be a victim of that kind of thing?" So he came into a life in Russia, a very toxic environment, and died of strontium 90 poisoning. And then the life, I think current life now, has been involved in the cleanup in Chernobyl, where there was the nuclear reactor that melted down. So it's that sort of thing. You know, you've done something, you've got to see the consequences. So it's not just a sort of back and forth, you know, good life, bad life thing. It's just,
right.
it's a little more complicated than that. But the key is live a good life and, you know, be good to everyone. You know, do the right thing. And that will really, your soul will thank you in the next
life. Yes, do it not only for the world and the betterment of the world, but for your future soul.
Indeed.
How long do we hang out on the astral plane between lives? Because sometimes I think that the spirits that surround me are my friends and family who have died in the past. And then I'll try to tune into them and I can't any longer. And I'm like, huh, well, maybe they were reincarnated. Maybe they're a baby right now.
That's it. Exactly. You know, so it depends on how long people spend. It certainly can be measured in sort of human time. But it seems to be anything between weeks.
And
decades. It depends. Wow. I have come across it, you know, sometimes where there's an opportunity coming up. The soul goes, oh, you know, I'd be waiting to work off some karma, work out things with this one particular person. She's about to have a baby, so, you know, I'll jump in there. More often, it looks to me like years, but I have seen that sort of, you know, even in one case, I found somebody who saw the opportunity, died unexpectedly, and then came in when somebody was already, a soul was already there, the baby was about a year old, and he came in and just went, okay, hey, do you mind if I take over? It was an agreement between souls. I mean, these things are a little weird. And
oh, like a walk-in.
These sort of walk-in things. Yeah, I come across that from time to time, which usually it's, more often than not, it's about survival.
That's so interesting. I do think one of my friends was a walk-in.
Yeah, well, I presume you noticed a difference in personality, or it's just some kind of shift, like a change.
And sometimes I wonder if I was, because I've had such a great shift. But I also think that a lot of my experiences from my past, my very, very human experiences from only 5-6 years ago, are the reason why I am the way I am today. So probably not.
Yeah. Well, it's that's something we could talk about for next time.
Yes, because you're going to be back in more. January.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll have a whole bunch more to talk to you about then.
I know, because you're going to be releasing another book.
Yes, the Old Souls Guidebook.
The Old Souls Guidebook, which is perfect because I do believe that the majority of my audience are old souls. I don't know if I attract many young souls. And
that's true.
That's true. You're like, I know. That's true. And definitely spiritualists. It's interesting. There's a lot of old souls who are super young humans right now.
Yes, that's right. And that's actually part of the shift that's going on, this transformation, which is a shift in consciousness, that you're getting a lot of younger people coming in with a sort of a more innate awareness of things that have taken other generations a long time to figure out. And it's just this, we're undergoing a big shift in consciousness, which will, it'll result in a different world. Moving forward. But yeah, it's people like you that are on the sharp end of the transformation, you know, influencing people and, you know, bringing awareness of, you know, the importance of spirituality and, you know, having meaning in your life and so on. That's a big part of the change that's happening.
Did my guides or your guides tell you my soul's mission?
Not as such. That's one we'll do next time.
Yeah, we'll do next time. Amazing. Yeah. Oh, Ainsley, thank you so much. Do you have time to answer two last questions that I ask all my guests? Amazing. So the universe gave you free billboards to share one message across the main highways in major cities all around the world. What would these billboards read?
You know, I think something that I'd like to get across, and I think this is so important, that your destiny is not something that's out there that you may or may not discover if you're lucky. It's what you're living right now. And you can shape that in any way you want. Does that fit on a billboard?
That will fit on a billboard, and we'll just put it on the 405 where there's a lot of traffic, so they'll have time to read it. And then this is the last question I ask all the Your Own Magic guests. How would you advise the Your Own Magic listeners to create their own magic?
Oh, mm-hmm. I think one is, it really comes back to meditation, something that comes up all the time.
Yeah.
And I would encourage everybody to get into a practice, but really have fun with it. You know, build an altar, focus for your meditation, and, you know, so that it becomes a really, you know, big part of your life. That, you know, it's not just something you may remember to do once every couple of weeks, but that every day you have this place that you go to and you focus. You've got something to, you know, light a candle or whatever it is, and connect with the other side. And don't be afraid to ask questions and receive answers.
I'm so happy that you said that, to bring joy to the meditations, because I think that a lot of people believe that you need to meditate in a very rigid way, like they did back in the day. But it's better to just have fun and allow yourself to get into that zone your own way.
Somebody asked the Dalai Lama what was the best way to meditate, and he said, whatever works for you.
Oh, I love the Dalai Lama.
That's an old soul for you.
That is an old soul. Ainsley, thank you so much. Soul much. Wow.
Well, Raquel, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. And I'm very much looking forward to the next time.
I am so looking forward to the next time so much. I can't wait to share your magic again with the listeners.
I'm looking forward to that too. Well, lovely talking with you.
So lovely. Wow. 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 I can't tell you how much healed within me just minutes after this interview. And I really, really want you to go explore for yourself. Ainsley has two books out, The Instruction and The Transformation. And you can also find him at ainsleymcleod.com, which I'll definitely leave in the show notes for spelling. And also on Facebook, Ainsley McLeod, and Instagram, Ainsley_McLeod. So, dear Yomi, thank you so, so, so much for lending your ear. I really, really hope that right now your soul is singing, because it realized the human of you is remembering your soul. So I would love to hear your thoughts. Please say hello in the Your Own Magic Facebook group. And feel free, if you like this episode, to leave a review and send it to hello@yourownmagic.life so I can send you a free guided meditation and submit you for the hum giveaway. Anyways, wow. Wow. I love you all so much. Thank you so much for listening, and have a magical day. Thank you.